Joining us now on the show, friend of the show, it's time for Take a Peek with Jason Strudwick. How are you, Struddy?
Oh, God. What is going Strudy. On? I knew something was up.
Struddy, I just want to get. I want to take a deep dive into the taking a peek, and I want to know, back in the day, who called who more? Was it you calling Noodles, or was Noodles calling you saying, let's go take a peek? And there's a follow-up. There's a follow-up as well.
I'll say this. When I was a young, like, I met Noodles, I was around maybe 18 or 19. And I was a pretty naive young guy. Like, I was pretty straight, you know, that didn't really do too much.
But he cut that crap out.
Oh, no. I was. I mean, I was, you know, of course I was pretty good looking, but I was just a nerd. I wore sweatpants till I was in grade 10. Sweatpants till grade 10. And I thought I was cool. I was the biggest tool around. At least I had my cousin Scott Rob Niedermeyer. I look cool next to those guys, and they were nerds too. So I'd say it was Noodles calling me. I was a very welcome follower. He's like, let's just go take a peek. See, it can't hurt. Let's just check what's out. And okay, inevitably, it wasn't just one beer. It was usually a whole night.
Okay, well, that's what I want to know. Was there ever a night, like a movie, quiet night, the call was placed, let's go take a peek, and it ever, like, did it ever turn into an absolute sideshow where it's 6 a.m. home time?
Oh, so Noodles loved movies. You know, like, he'd always want to go to movies, and I'd go to his house sometimes. He had a great setup. And I remember one time we went over there, and we were just watching movies, like, why don't we just have a Ryan Coke? And I said, why not? It's Saturday night. Let's just have a let's have one. So next thing I know, I think we were at Barry T's till like 3, and then all hell, people came back to Noodle's house. It was so funny. I remember telling my mom, dad, like, I'll be home by like 11. I think I was home like 11 the next day. It was unbelievable.
Just a casual Ryan Coke, Strudy. Yeah. Any interest?
Oh, it was unreal that we actually, Noodles and I, we went on a trip with a bunch of people we kind of knew to Hawaii. And I don't know if you remember this, Noodles, but we were on there, and at some point I decided to take the middleman out. So what is even Ryan Coke anymore? It was just rye. And from then on, the waiter would come by, like, take the middleman out. I'll just take the rye and ice. And
Take the middleman out.
Yeah, it didn't go well. Wow.
That's so right. Barry T's was the bar of choice for taking a peek?
Well, there was that. What was on the White Avenue? Was it Club Malibu on South
Side?
Oh,
yeah. Monday nights, that place was good.
Yeah.
That was
Iron Horse. The Iron Horse is very popular. Very popular. We stop there often.
Yeah, but there was some legendary places. I agree. There were some legendary places.
Well, you've made O's Day by some.
That got me fired up. Like, I love that. So that's the National League.
By the way, Strudy.
You know what?
I was going to say, it's an honor to be able to, interview you for the first time. I'm filling in for the one and only Brian Hayes. And these guys, they gave me some tips. And one of the questions that I was supposed to ask, tight jeans, question mark?
Are you wearing your tight jeans today?
No, today I've got the shorts on. You know, it's pretty warm here in Edmonton, O-Dogs, so we can't, I can't be wearing the jeans all the time. So I have the shorts on. They're not quite as tight. I like
fitting.
A little bit more. I like a little bit baggier short. You know, I've seen some guys, like you think of Dave Hasselhoff in Baywatch. What's it called? Baywatch or whatever. Yeah, and I'm not that guy. I like a little bit of room to move when it comes to shorts. Pants or jeans, tighter the better. Tighter the better.
Tighter.
So when you buy jeans, you tell the lady at the store you want, like, nude-hugging, like the Stranglers, not Wranglers.
That's right. Yeah, there's a chance I might lose consciousness because it's sucking all the blood stays in my feet. I think, honestly, it's my wife. I think it's my wife that she actually buys my jeans, and I think that she does it. She's got a motive, right? Like, I think I've told you guys before, but I can't walk upstairs in front of her. You know, it sets the tone. I can't do it. It's just, I refuse to do it. Or if I do it, I got to walk up the stairs backwards.
Wow. Strudy, what are you hearing in Edmonton as far as the NHL? Are they going to get it done there or what?
Good segue. Good segue.
I think that,
I think your premier wants it.
Yeah, I'd say you're right about that. He's making a big push. But you know what? I think that Edmonton's in a good position to host it. You know, with everything that's going on in the U.S. right now and you know, a lot of momentum in that, you know, I don't know how easy it is to rule out a Canadian city. So I think Edmonton will be right down to the end. I think Vancouver's well positioned, to do it. And, you know, but Edmonton, it has everything you need. You know, the low cases, the rink, and then the practice rink right beside it. The hotels are all within striking distance. So, you know, and I think it's a good case. If it goes somewhere else, I think people will get it too. You know, they're trying to make the best decision they can. But, you know, just from what I know of the city, I think that this would be it's really uniquely and well set up, for what they'd be looking for.
In talking to people around the city, Strud, would you think that the city would embrace it? And what I mean by that is people that, you know, say the National Hockey League's going to book off, you know, the Ranch golf course or, you know, a different type of golf course. You know, are people willing to go, all right, you know, I get that because the league needs certain things, but it may cut into, I guess, an everyday person's luxury.
Well, they're not
you know,
going
luxury.
To no private golf club. They're not going to no private golf club and say you guys are shutting down for the Vegas Golden Knights to tee it up. People will say, go stuff it. They don't pay $10,000 a summer for a hockey team to come in and take your tee times.
What's
not
Edmonton's
happening.
Version of Tam O'Shanter? They can just take over one of those, right?
Yeah. You know what's funny is I think that you're right. You know, as far as the city, like, I agree with Owen. I don't think they're going to get the best golf course. They're meant to have some small times. But there's others around Edmonton. There's one called Highlands. It's just, it would be about a 50-minute drive from downtown. And it's a nice little course. So there's opportunities there. But as far as the city itself, like, I don't think that there'll be a huge uptick because, you know, we're still here. We've got a social distance just like everywhere else. There's a maximum at all the bars. I don't see a lot of people flying in just to watch to watch the Leafs play or whoever play in Edmonton on TV, you know. So I don't know how many people actually be coming to the city for it.
No, you can't go to the game, Strud. There's no sense.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I think what you'll find is that I think there'll be a lot of people, and this will be unique, but you're going to be on your deck with some buddies watching the game in the summer. And I think that is, I'm looking forward to that type of setup, right? Because you're going to have it be nice, warm, and here in Edmonton, God, it's light till midnight, you know, in July. So I think there's a really neat opportunity for something cool, like for the NHL to embrace that and kind of get that message like, hey, it's summertime, let's watch some hockey. So, you know, I think the people in Edmonton, I don't think it'll have a huge impact on the city. The golfers it might, but other than that, I just don't see it really changing anything really dramatic for the people of them to really have to adjust for.
Stridey, you feel pretty good about the Oilers going into this situation?
Well, if you look at the first round matchup, I think the biggest concern I have is Corey Crawford. You know, best of three, if he comes in and is really on his game, he could make it tough for the Oilers. I know that Patrick Kane's there, but the Oilers have some pretty good firepower as well. But I think that Corey Crawford is the big wild card. I think he could be the most important player in the whole series because he could really tip the scales. You know, we saw him do some things this year. And then, like, you know, when you look at center position, I think the Oilers are stronger down the middle. You know, the defense pretty young in Chicago. You know, does Calvin DeHaan come back? All those things. So I feel like they should be well positioned to be in a favorite in this series. But the goaltending of Corey Crawford, I think, is a big wild card that the Oilers can't let that guy be the deciding factor.
Well, that's what concerns me too, Strud, is when you look at the Oilers, you know, they've made a lot of improvements, but, you know, how much has this time hurt a guy like Mike Smith, who's 36 or 7, you know, and, you know, goaltending's going to be anything, and it's not, you know, you mentioned Corey Crawford. It's going to be right across the board. 24 teams, you know, whoever gets a hot goalie at the right time, whether we've been talking about whether Bobrovsky wakes up and goes, oh, I am a Vezina winning goaltender, or, you know, Carey Price does, you know, does something. But if Mike Smith looks like a guy that looks like it's the age has caught up to him, you know, it's going to be a struggle in Edmonton. That's why I'm so fascinated with what's going to go down here, because you're right. Like, it could be as simple as Corey Crawford steals three games and Chicago's through, and Edmonton, that they had a fantastic season, they could be on the outside looking in.
Well, no, that's exactly it. You know, you think about, let's say, because I think that the games are going to be really chaotic, and I think there's going to be, you know, what happened in the beginning of the season, I don't think it translates directly to what we're going to see in this start. who's been looking after themselves, maybe who's a little bit out of shape or who isn't sharp. And you can't ease your way into these games. You know, those two exhibition games, if I was a coach in the NHL, I would say, okay, we're playing two exhibition games, guys. We want to combine goals, win these games, win this series or whatever. Kind of like you see in soccer. So the guys have something that they have to get their head dialed in for competition. And then you go into your first series, which is, you know, the play-ins. Say, guys, we need to get off to a good start. That's your first shift. I want everyone up and ready to go. Because if you're the Oilers and Corey Crawford, let's say he beats them in that first game, which is a possibility, you know, could happen. Then you get down in the second game, you're down 2, let's say you're down 2-0 in the second period. Like, oh my God, we might be down, you know, 2-0 in the best of 5. So you can't feel your way into it. So I think those exhibition games really are critical to coaches getting guys to understand how hard they've got to be, how hard they got to play, and how much they have to be ready for that drop of the puck.
Strutty, do you share my frustration with, like, it seems like the NBA just came out and had all the dates and it was all dialed up, and we still don't even know where we're going. I just find it a little bit frustrating. I don't know why, because it's still so far away, but it's like, why couldn't the NHL just come with heat, like, here's the dates. Here's where we're doing it. Here's what we're doing. Here's the draft. Here's the next season. I think that's just, it's almost comforting for a fan.
Yeah, it is. You know, in the NBA, it seemed like they knew where they're going to play for forever, right? That ESPN position they have there in Florida. Yeah. And for the NHL, it just seems it's a little harder. And you know, I think now with what we're seeing around North America, with all the marches, I think it makes it a little bit harder in some ways, because, you know, can you project what a city that's going through some, or a lot of the cities are going through, what that's going to look like in a month or 2 months? So that's why I honestly think that, you know, the Canadian cities, in just for that reason alone, and the dollar, might be easier choices, because I think those choices have to be made rather soon. So I don't really get frustrated, though. Like, I think this is such a unique situation that everyone's just trying to figure it out on the fly. I mean, it took me a month to figure out how to get my daughter on a Google call with her teacher. So, and that was, you know, so I got to give the NHL a little bit of credit. If they're going to bring out, what is it, 20 or 24 teams into two different cities, I got to give them a little bit of a leeway.
Well, we got a month to figure out training camp, I guess. And today we found out phase two at least begins on Monday. Although, what is phase two? Because every city and every NHL team is kind of handling it differently. Edmonton is going to open up their facility. They have a few local players, and we were talking about it before you came on. Like, how important would it be for you to get back to your city and be in that sort of facility, even though it would only be a couple of guys on the ice at a time?
It's hard because with the families, like my wife and I had this talk, let's say, you know, I played for whoever, Carolina. I would go back right away as soon as I could. Like, I'd be heading, trying to get back there right away so I could get set up and start getting my mind set into playoff hockey. But, you know, when I played in NHL, I didn't have kids. So it's easy for me to leave. I don't have kids. Now you have two or three kids or a newborn or, you know, a wife who's concerned about, you know, whatever's going on. So it's a little harder decision when you have family. You know, like I heard Patrick Laine, he'll play anywhere. Well, it's pretty easy. He just needs a stick and a video game to play, right? That's a pretty easy. But when you have families, it's harder. But that being said, I still would want to go. I would want to be where I want, because I'm like, okay, we're doing this. I've got to get my head wrapped around, because I've said it once, I feel it very strongly. There's an opportunity. The team that starts, that's ready and strong and ready to go, they're going to be good to go. And I think we're going to see some upsets in that first play-in round or whatever. I think you're going to be surprised. And there's an opportunity for a team that maybe, you know, underperformed during the year, and all of a sudden they're like, hey guys, let's get dialed in, and they come out firing, and you get on a roll. You know, you can make quite a bit of a push into the playoffs.
Strutty, before we get you out of here, do you have any more taking a peek tales? Was there ever like a double down where you took a peek and you were rough and you got a workout in, and then maybe you were watching a movie and then a Ryan Coke and it's just back to back? Was there ever back to back taking a peek?
Oh, there was lots of the back to back. And I'll share this story, though. We go to Vegas, and most people go for 3 nights. Noodles decide we're going for 5 nights.
Wow, that is ridiculous.
I couldn't believe it. I almost died second day, and I think I pulled myself out of the fire. So the last day, it's me, Noodles, everyone else had left, and this guy Sean Haggerty, who played a bit in the NHL.
Oh yeah.
And we're hanging out, and like we're all by the pool, and like, okay, last night, guys, let's have a good one. Noodles is like, I can't come with you guys. We're like, what? He's like, I can't come with you guys. I'm like, what are you talking about? We're in Vegas. He's like, actually, I have a date. So if I remember correctly, Noodles took a girl on a date. They went bowling. They went bowling in Vegas.
What?
I was so mad. I'm like, what are you doing? You never leave a man behind. Like,
no, the man card gets put into a wood chipper for that.
He organized the trip.
It was a date. Yes. It wasn't at 10 o'clock at night or whatever. It was like a date for a beer at like 2:30 in the afternoon.
At a bowling alley?
I don't know.
It was bowling. I remembered. He said they shared a ball. It was so romantic.
Oh, stop it. Now he's being ridiculous. Now he's just making things up.
They shared a ball.
I couldn't believe it. I used an 11-pound ball so she could use it. I didn't want to get a 14 and be a hero. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. Take a peek with Jason Strudwick. That doesn't go ahead of Canada Square.
It is now a thing. Taking a peek with Struddy.
We'll have to, you guys will have to continue that with Hayes when he comes back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Unreal.
Awesome stuff. Anything you want to leave us, you know, that we can maybe play for Brian? Something about Edmonton being a better vacation spot than Toronto? Or you just want to.
Well, I hope he's excited about Mitch Marner coming back. You know, Mitch is excited and Brian's excited. And it's going to be a good moment for that family.
It's going to be great.
For that family.
Well, on that note, we appreciate you coming on the show. Buddy. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the baggy shorts. And pleasure as always.
Thanks, Strud.
See you guys anytime. See you later.
There you go. Friend of the show, Jason Strudwick from TSN 1260 in Edmonton.
That guy just makes you want to laugh. Like, he just puts a smile on your face.
He's always up for a story and a...
Yeah, very friendly guy.
I assume he was like that as a player? Like, it was a natural transition?
You know he was a pain in the ass as a player. He was no nonsense on the ice.
Yeah, he played tough. He played a tough game. But that's the one thing, like, Jason... he's an intelligent guy. He understood exactly what it took to play in the NHL for his size, what he needed to do. Like, he was solid. That's the one, he was really loved in the room. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to talk about the definition of glue, guys. Like, that's a guy that you always wanted to be around and, you know, a lot of fun. But, like, seriousness, like, he came to play every night. Like, he had a little throwback in him, some old school, but... You know, that's the type of person you loved having as a teammate. You know, we've had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs over the years. He's pretty, I played with him in the minors, too. Like, ironically, like, I am older than Jason, so I used to host the pro ice in the summers. And Strudwick started coming out, and Tyson Nash, and again, like, some of these younger players started showing up. And then I started hanging out with them and going out with them and having some fun. And then Jason got drafted to the Islanders. I was already with the Islanders. So we ended up going to camps together and we were in the minors together. And so we've kind of gone through the ups and downs through the career. So it's been a long friendship for sure.
Well, I always enjoy when he's on the show with you guys. So he was great once again today.